At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm actually kidnapped and here against my will. If you're listening, if you could save me, please. call 911 to hear me locked in this basement.
This was the only way to get you on the show.
Well, I hope it's worth it. I hope it's worth it.
It'll be worth it.
Call 911, help, please.
Welcome back to a brand new episode. This is Laugh With Me, a podcast with Jeremy Odom. I am your host. Right off the top, I just want to say thank you. Thank you and thank you to everybody who has been listening to the shows, liking, giving a 5-star rating, sharing anything related to the show to try to help get the audience up, and anyone who's honestly gave me some feedback. I appreciate it, and we're going to continue to make this show better and better each episode. We have a fantastic guest for you today. He is no stranger to comedy. He is no stranger to the second show in Lincoln that I did where I bombed so horrific that it is something to listen. I mean, it is something you will want to listen to, and someday, like I've told you before, someday I will release the footage. You will hear the incredibly awkward and silent bombing that still haunts me in my dreams. I do not sleep well at night. It has nothing to do with the Crohn's disease. It has nothing to do with stress from work. It has nothing to do with the pressures of family life or the world around me. It's 100% because of that second show in Lincoln, and thankfully, nobody outside of those that were there entertaining that night were witness to it, but someday the tapes will be released. But Anthony was there, and we definitely will dig into that here on the show. So here we are. He's your guest. You've seen him in Rampage, President Down, the movie on Netflix. You've heard him on the Anthony Rogers Show, a podcast that is available anywhere you can get your podcasts and also streams live on Tuesdays on YouTube at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern. You also see him live all over the United States. Check anthonyrogers.us for tour dates. It is Anthony Rogers.
Okay, Anthony Rogers, host of the Anthony Rogers Show. Thank you for joining the show and taking time with me today. You've been in the news a lot lately. You got a new co-host, Nikki Knightley.
Yeah, we have new co-host, man, for real. It's pretty cool, and Nikki Knightley's been doing a good job, I think.
So how did you get in touch with her? Has she been a guest on the show, like, previously?
That's kind of what happened. I think she's a guest once or twice, and what happened was I was in the woods, and, like, I lost my signal and, like, on one of my shows, and I cut out because my internet was bad. And she just kept going, talking to this, like, theoretical physicist. And she was more interesting than he was. I was just like, okay, she's actually really good. And people that watch the show and listen to the show kind of liked her and just clicked with her and thought she was kind of cool. And, I mean, it's kind of what's happened, I guess. So people kind of picked it more than me, I guess.
That's awesome. Nikki Knightley, so she is a person of lots of trades. She's a porn star, a psychic, a comedian, and now co-host of the Anthony Rogers Show, which the topics on your show are wide-ranging. You've got anything from musicians telling ghost stories, porn stars telling ghost stories, China taking over the world. what are you looking for, I guess, in your show? Like, when you're writing what your each episode's going to be about, what are you looking for? Like, what causes the creativity there?
I think you expect too much out of me that I actually wrote something. I think you're way more on it than I am with that. I basically just kind of put interesting people together and see what they do. Like, one time I put a theoretical physicist and Violent J from ICP in, like, conversation about time travel, and I was just like, this is going to be great. You know, it's just like, I think I'm just, like, trying to impress the 14-year-old version of myself all the time.
Oh, nice. Have you talked to ICP about professional wrestling before? Because aren't they huge fans?
No, I need to just have him on a show and just like, or have them on a show just and just talk about that. But yeah, the subject last time was just time travel, so we just talked about that the whole time.
Oh, that's fantastic. So your show normally can be found on YouTube. You are on Rumble this week, and you can find that every Tuesday, 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern. It is worth your time, worth your watch, worth your listen. You can also find it basically anywhere that you find your podcast, restream your podcast. But the Anthony Rogers Show, would you say that's your baby? Like, that's the vehicle that you're trying to drive forward for the Anthony Rogers brand?
It's funny you brought that up, and like, super nice way of wording things, and I really appreciate all like the politeness and stuff, brother. But I think that's the main thing. But I see that in comedy. I was thinking about that earlier. I'm like, I feel like I have two careers right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like I travel as a comedian. I don't know how well I am at that. I'm on the bar and grill scene, so I'm not sure how big I am as a comedian. But yeah, I'd say the podcast. Yeah, to answer your question, yes, I'd say it's the main thing, probably. I guess it would be, and I'm trying to catch comedy up with it, probably.
So you've been in stand-up comedy for how long now?
9 years-ish, something like that.
Okay. And I caught on with you this past year as you were going on tour. You were coming through the area. You started in Missouri or like the St. Louis area?
Kansas City was the first show I had in that run. And then you were the third, I think. I think it was Omaha, and then it was Lincoln. I think you're on the Lincoln shows.
Yeah. When you started 9 years ago, did you start in Missouri or were you somewhere else?
I actually started in Seattle. That was the first show at the Cannabis Farmers Market. It was 2014. And, like, I'd never seen it. It's weed still not legal in Nebraska where you're at. But, like, in Missouri, it just turned legal. But, like, this was, like, 2014. That was, like, the most weed I've ever seen in my life. And then I was handing me stuff. And then, like, pixie sticks and sodas. And they're like, oh, you're on in 15 minutes. And that was my first experience of comedy ever. Like, I never did open mics or anything like that. As far as I did open mics, like, I thought I was a musician first. So this is the first time I ever did comedy.
So you went on stage and just did with 4 or 5 minutes just off the top of your head?
Yeah. It was so fucking smelly. I was so stoned. I basically just like complimented everybody for having the best seat in the house because they got to look at me. It was like really dumb. I was like, you guys are really lucky that you guys get to look at me. I have to look at you guys, you know? And it's like just this whole like really childish, dumb shtick like that for like 15 minutes probably.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, it's funny you said that because your style is very conversational. Like, when I had the opportunity to see you in Lincoln, it's very, like, you're up there, you're sitting, you're just chatting, and you're interacting with the audience. It's very conversational. It doesn't seem like you're running bits, necessarily. It just seems like you're just dropping lines off the top of your head, and then punchline, and then another line, and then punchline. Like, it's fantastic. Very different. Very different, for sure.
So you
took the show to Hawaii this past year in your special and filmed Sunburn in Hawaii, which you can find on YouTube. What was that like, going to Hawaii and bringing your Midwest brand?
That was weird. I think Hawaii was a bigger deal to everybody but me. Like, I just felt like it was another show kind of thing. But everybody else was like, oh, man, you're going to Hawaii, like, kind of thing. And then, like, my mother-in-law was like, you got to bring your wife. I'm like, oh, man, I better bring my wife so she doesn't hate me for that. And then I brought my wife, and then, like, it was fun. Like, 3 days, it was, like, magic. And then, like, the third day, I'm like, I want to get home. Or fourth day, I was like, I want to get home. This sucks. It's kind of my experience. It's like a third world country with everything is expensive. That's what Hawaii's doing today.
Well, it's kind of like Vegas. It's a blast the first 2 days. And then by then, the third day, you're exhausted.
100% like Vegas. Yeah, no, it's just like that. Yep. That's a great comparison, brother. That's 100% like that. And, like, yeah, there's, like, chickens crossing the road, and the coffee's, like, $20. I'm like, this sucks.
Oh, my. What up?
Missouri is very close to Nebraska. Like, yeah, you guys are nicer up there. Probably the only difference.
Well,
you're like a nicer state.
We're nice because we're just excited to have people come visit. I mean, that's.
I love Nebraska, man. Like, you're in a very nice area. I'm trying to get more established in, like, the Omaha and Lincoln markets, I think. And, like, I love the comedy scene up there. You got a lot of good comedians. And I just the area is really nice, man. And I'm you're probably not Republican, but everyone else is there. And, like, it's really nice that, you know what I mean? And for me, it's, like, really nice. Like, everybody's just, like, I think my Lyft driver was like, I told him I was from Missouri, and he's like, oh, that's where Rush Limbaugh, excuse me, he's like, oh, that's where Rush Limbaugh's from. And I'm like, oh, man, I like this guy already. I was like, so it's a good vibe with there, man.
That's awesome. Well, I know when we were in Lincoln, I know your Omaha shows went better than what we had. We were at a bar. It was a lot of fun. In fact, we did two shows, and the first show, I had a blast opening for you and appreciate the opportunity. The second show was the worst one I've ever done in my life. And it had nothing to do with you. It was me.
No, I know. No, I know. Same. No, yeah, dude. Those were one of the three shows that messed up. I had about a 20-state tour. Three of those shows weren't good. Omaha, the first time was good. Like, here's I messed up and double booked Omaha. So, like, the first time I did, like, Papillion, and it was good. And then I did, I come back to do, like, Omaha, and it was just, like, the link thing. It was, like, underpromoted and just, like, kind of weird. And then, like, the comics were awesome. I had a good time with the comics, like, on both shows, to be honest. And then, like, but I overbooked Omaha, I feel like, to where, like, Omaha and Lincoln in a row were just, like, terrible. And then, like, the next shows were cool. Yeah. it was such a bad start. But I mean, I'm new there. I haven't, those are my first couple shows in your market, even though, you know, so it's like, yep. I'm trying to figure it out still.
Well, Papillion, I know, is a growing market and is doing very well. Justin Healy is doing a fantastic job of building that market.
That's actually where I was. I did a show there, and that's where I actually met Justin that time, and okay. Like put him on the show. And I just showed there, and then my buddy's band's he's in Smiling Through Soul, and hit a show in Omaha, and I went to see them the next day at like a Bentley dealership with a speakeasy in it. Like, it was like crazy.
I love that venue. They put on great shows. Sometimes they'll do an outdoor show. Oh yeah, yeah, it's awesome. There's a few venues out west, Omaha, that are like that, where you wouldn't think they're doing anything inside of it, and you go inside, it's a beautiful bar. We've got a stage and some big name. Everclear, I've seen Everclear there. It's fantastic. But yeah, Justin Healy's doing a great job building up that Papillion Marshall. Thank you for setting him up there, because he's doing awesome. He's working hard.
I like him a lot. I like him and Caleb and you. And I mean, you got about 10 really good comics out there. I just want to start naming names. I'll forget some in the A before. Yeah. But there's like literally probably about 10 strong comics out there, man, that really have a lot of potential. And I really love your market up there, man, to be honest.
The tour was great. 2024, I noticed on the website today it said tour dates coming. What are you thinking? Like, what are you planning for 2024 to take it to the next level?
I'm trying to figure that out. I kind of want my summer free this time so I can go to Greece and have fun and stuff. And like the Bible's like written there, and I kind of explore a little bit and stuff. Like, I kind of want to check out Greece this summer. So I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know. I'll probably tour in spring. Maybe I'll probably do like a bunch of shows. I got some loose negotiations. I haven't been saying yes to any things. I've been helping my mom like kind of heal out on the timeline for that. So it's like hard to like pick dates. But I think here in a month or two, I'll start locking down on what I want to do and where I want to go.
Yeah, that's awesome. You hopefully will take the bus out, right? You tell me about the bus.
Oh yeah, I can't. Yeah, you can't travel without that anymore. Like you saw that, man. You park in front of you park your living room in front of a venue, man. It's the best.
So you, how many city or how many states? I guess did you take that bus?
I'd argue 20, but maybe 15. So I think I took a car one. Yeah, I borrowed a car one time. Yeah. So about 15 or okay. more.
So it's a school bus. And you converted it into, like you said, a living room. I mean, it was awesome inside. Like, take me through that process.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So my wife and I, like, basically saw all the COVID lockdowns, like losing our rights type thing. We lived in a major city. Or I mean, I don't know if it's still a major city, but St. Louis. It was a major city one time. So, but we lived there, and, like, everything turned into, like, an Anne Frank movie or something. And I was just, like, everybody's, like, hiding and, like, trying to tell them if they're smoking cigarettes outside and stuff. And I'm like, I gotta get out of here. Dude. This is crazy. and then I just, like, built a bus. I lost very little room from my apartment. I took the bus, really. I lost maybe a little width.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same shotgun-style apartment I had. And then I got a king-size bed. I got a bathtub. I got whatever I need, you know. And I don't even really use the bathroom there, you know. But I have it if I need it.
Yep.
And I have, like, all this other stuff. I mean, yeah, it's like, it's magic, man. It's like paying no bills is, like, the best thing ever as an adult.
I'd say some of my favorite – I mean, you're a funny guy anyway, but some of your my favorite content from you is the bus stuff. Whenever you're just driving the bus, like the pics of you just driving, you just look so determined wherever you're going. Like it's not meant to be funny, but it's just the picture of it is amazing. I definitely enjoy that.
Well, yeah, me and the bus are both like cartoon objects almost. Like, yep. Like a giant beard in the bus. And like, you probably want a bus, man. I mean, that's what I do. I just like saw a bunch of other people do it. And I'm like, I want to do that. I mean, that's pretty much what I did.
Well, most folks will just take like an old van, you know, like the old, you know, the band getting in the van and everyone's living in the van. Driving around the country or around a few states. And
if I was single, I'd do that. If I was single, I'd do that thing just because I could park more anonymously.
Oh, right.
But like having a wife, I mean, even having a wife that would want to live on a bus is rare. I couldn't imagine talking into a van.
You know? I picture you with that school bus getting like a custom wrap around it, like with your logo on it, similar to what you see on the race car, because your logo's on a race car.
That's true.
Tell me about that. How's the car doing? Like, do you follow the driver?
It's what was the question? Sorry, I got excited.
Do you follow the driver? Is he doing well?
He's my buddy. Yeah, Justin Russell rules, man. He's won every race with it so far.
That's awesome.
He's like a legendary like dirt track racer, bro. So he just wins every single race, and like that just he's just like he was on TV with it, and like he just like he's been in articles with it. Oh. He's killing it, man. He's my hero, man.
That's so cool. And what people don't know is like having your name, having your logo, having your brand on the side of a race car, it's a big deal. Like the dollars that like businesses will spend to be on a car, it's up there. I mean, with advertising, like it's up there in dollars. So the value you're getting is incredible. Yeah.
It's definitely a flex for sure. And I'm just trying to sweep the market real fast. I'm very lucky to have people. I mean, even being on your show is the same thing. You know, it's like, I appreciate every person that hooks me up like that. I mean, you too, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like everybody, it's all a collab, man. You know,
yep.
it's like, we're all just lily padding each other. I'm like, people know he's a race car driver that wouldn't know. And people know my show that wouldn't know. So it's like, it's a win-win. And same with you, man. It's like, you know, on the shows, like you have people, I have people. It's just the same thing. And it's like, just all a collab constantly, you know?
Yep. We're all in this together. That's for sure. That's the thing about comedy, nobody knows what it's like to go on stage and give your soul to people and hope they laugh, other than other comics. There's just no other way about it. Maybe musicians. I mean, musicians for sure. But yeah, I mean, nobody understands what that's like.
I try to get away from it, but I keep coming back. You know, I said I'd do comedy for 9 years, but there's so many years I just didn't do it. And there, I started in 2014, but like, I'd be like, oh, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And I'd be in like some movie, like I was in like Rampage Prison Town, and I was just like, oh, I do movies now, blah, bro. And I was like the only movie I've ever been in. I was in another one too. I was like Psychoid, but I mean, I had the thought process, like now that I'm in one movie, I could be in every movie. And I'm like, okay, I can just keep, I'm like, yeah, I was in that movie. Can I be in this movie? I'm like, it just didn't work like that, you know? But I am like on a TV show coming out soon. That's called That Strip Club Show. I'll have more info on that. I mean, starting trailers and stuff, but comedy is great, man. It's the best feeling in the entire world.
So you write too, right? Like you write for like television, or do you just write for your comedy? I mean, I guess, or movies. Like you, I know you were working on a project at one point.
Several. I just do whatever I want all the time, you know? I just feel like whatever sounds fun at the time. I'm like a little kid playing with his action figures almost, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just like, that's like how I feel. Like, I feel like the same way I felt as a kid playing with action figures. I just like, I want to create everything all the time, and I just want to make cool stuff. And I kind of just make fun of everything else and kind of want to make my own thing, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's admirable and something that I know a lot of us in the comedy world strive to be able to do, to full-time just be able to go in.
Takes forever, dude. Takes forever. So I mean, I was broke through my entire 20s. Like, dude, it takes forever. And like, I wasn't rich through my like early 30s and stuff. But I'm like, you know, and I'm like, I can do whatever I want. I don't have any bills. Like, if I had bills, it'd be different. You know what I mean? So it's like, I made my life like this to where it was easier. It's like, and like, it's grass is always greener. You just don't see everybody's hustle. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody's got a good hustle and like whatever. But I'm saying like, it takes a long time, man. Because everybody's chasing it, and like, you gotta get established. And nobody loves you in the beginning. Then everybody loves you at one point, and then they hate you, and it just goes back and forth constantly.
Speaking of, I saw a post you put up. It might have been even today or yesterday. You said in the future, everybody gets canceled. So, what I took it like in a deep way, like in the future. The things and how minuscule every little thing can be debated, like because of social media and whatnot, the minor mistakes that you would normally make in your life can suddenly become something that that just crushes your livelihood. How did you take it when you posted that?
I just thought it was funny, and like I take it several ways, man, to be honest with you. Like the most extreme way, I'd be like, they're all just trying to kill us, man. Like, yeah. I mean, they're all these rich people are just like, oh, the world's overpopulated and I'm the person who fixed it. You know, that's like how all these billionaires sound to me. I'm like, oh man, that's terrifying. And then like all this World War like BS and stuff, and just like, oh, they want to kill us and sell us weapons. Yep. And products. I mean, like, they want to sell us everything while they kill us. And I feel like that kind of, and like, I feel like the same, like, so like you said, on like the office level, you're just like, oh, well, like Kevin said, fuck, like 6 years ago on Twitter, he should just be starved to death.
Yep.
You know? Yep. I mean, it's basically what it is. It's like, you can't, I mean, in this country, you cannot, I mean, attack has definitely gone around the First Amendment where it says only that Congress cannot infringe on their rights, but I doubt Thomas Jefferson meant corporations can, you know?
Correct.
I think they basically are robbing us of our rights left and right. We're slaves right now, and I don't even know how much longer I could say that.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Isn't it interesting that one little, like, post, like one line. It was a one line thing, and it could go 100 different ways, and it can have actual, you know, impact on your life 10 years from now, because somebody could take it the wrong way, or life's different and they'll come back and retro penalize you. But it's scary.
I think Americans forgot that anyone in a basement or anyone in a garage can run these companies out of business. Anybody in their like apartment or whatever, their parents' house, whatever they're thinking, they could, like, as long as you put your mind to it, you can make a better business. And that's the thing. It's like, you can't fire yourself. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
You can't cancel yourself, and that's a very American thing. Spend $30, get the LLC. That's what it costs in Missouri. I don't know your price. But, like, if it's a $30 LLC in Missouri or wherever you're from, and start a company, dude. And, like, just, like, that's the way out. It's, like, they can't – I mean, yeah, this corporation just enslaved us all for, like, we're supposed to just, like, give up our entire life to, like, give people that print money. It makes no sense. It's just, like, I'm supposed to give a bank all this money when they print it. It's just, like, what? It's just, like – it's just ludicrous to me, and I don't want to take part in any of it. Like, to be honest, I'm just not interested. And time's more valuable than green pieces and cotton fiber, you know?
So how do you use, like you were saying, start a business and change the world from your basement or the garage, but when you need the platforms that are available to you, because that's where the masses are, how do you do it? Like, take, for example, YouTube. If YouTube, you know, shuts you down for however long for community guidelines or whatever, just from you putting out your creative, I mean, how do you overcome that? Don't you think that's going to get even worse down the line?
I think I'm in the middle of that, and that's funny you bring that up. I have, like, chills talking about that, and I'm in the process of that. So basically what I did, whenever YouTube's like, oh, you're grounded for a week, I basically hit up every single radio station I could, and I'm trying to syndicate my show on radio. I just got more mad. I'm, like, just going to get in real life more. I'm like, you can't ban me in real life. You know what I mean? It's like, we take the internet away, I'm back to putting you in a trash can, homie, you know?
Yep.
Like, as far as, like, YouTube goes, not you directly, I'm metaphorically you as YouTube. I'm just saying, like, Mark Zuckerberg's probably the only nerd that could beat me up.
Yep.
He trains, bro. I'm not a fool. I'm not messing with him. But any of the rest of men, like, you know, they're tyrants, man, and they're just baby dick tyrants. They got picked on in school, have some inferiority complex, and think we're nothing and there's something, and it gets old, man. It's like, we're all just chill, you know. We're all people, dude. Like, you're not better because you have more money, dude, and you enslave people, you know.
So you think Zuckerberg is, I know he trains, but you think he's dangerous? You think he could fight?
As me, who doesn't train, yeah. If I trained, okay. I don't know. But I'm just saying, that guy, these guys are smart, man. They are smart, and they got a lot of stuff going for them. I mean, you don't become a billionaire being dumb, you know?
True. So
the way he looks at Facebook is how he looks at fighting, it seems like. Like, he takes it that passionately. I'd worry about Zuckerberg, brother.
He's a guy, too, that didn't inherit his empire. He grinded and created it.
That's the story, at least. I have a weird feeling about Facebook, but that's definitely the story. Because, like, in every other market, like Russia, for example, they have VK.com, and they have a very similar story to Facebook. Like, all these countries are using, like, this story, but it all seems like just, like, in our situation, it just seems like CIA, like, database mining.
Yep.
Like, to me, that's what social media seems like. It's, okay, take your face picture. Okay, now we have facial recognition software everywhere. Okay, type every thought so we can track this. You see any dissidents? Okay, all the dissidents are bad. Okay, put all the dissidents on different apps. Put them on Gab. Put them on Parler. You know, it's just like they're basically separating us, and it feels like either a globalist takeover or we're in the middle of a communist takeover, and it could be the same thing. I don't know.
So what do you see? Like, it's always the past, you know, becomes the future. Everything always comes back, and it's not just in politics and in government. It's also in brands and just how we live. What's the timeline look like? I mean, you can see the wheels in motion. I mean, everything you're saying, you see the wheels in motion, but when do you think it really comes to a head, or do you think it already is?
I think it already is. I think we based our civilizations on Rome and Greece, and they both got ransacked by barbarians. It seems like a barbarian attack. I think China's throwing their pawns at us. They're throwing their pawns at Israel. They start the fronts. They want to spread our fronts. They want us to have a front in Taiwan, a front in Ukraine, a front in Israel. And they want us to spread us thin, basically, and that's how Hitler lost the war. And they have all the factories. That's how the North won the war. They have all the people too. That's how the North won. I mean, any war, you know what I mean? Like, you look at, like, they have. We have no industry. We have a bunch of people. They're gonna freak the fuck out when they see what's about to happen.
they're throwing the pawns at us, and we don't have the chess players in order to overcome it. Unfortunately,
we probably could. I mean, if we fight, I mean, we got a chance, man. We got a chance. I mean, it's like, people have to realize it, and people have to stand your ground, you know. I mean, if it comes to that. But I mean, also, it could be a renaissance. It's a weird time, man. Everybody's, like, getting smarter too right now. I feel like we all kind of rose up intellectually, and, like, everyone's going to the next level in their life. So I mean, I have mixed feelings. It could be really nice, and just the TV's just trying to scare us into submission, you know. It's like, I mean, I don't, it's just like, I have several opinions. I just don't know which one's real.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of it. Having the opinion and being able to have a platform to be able to talk about it is important. I mean, that's the American way, is to be able to freely speak. And I definitely appreciate anybody who uses their voice in order to do that, because change can't happen.
I think so, too. I think it's enough people just tired of their way. I mean, my problem right now, I mean, see, the problem is the cell phone, man. Like, I mean, it lets me be on a show like this and, like, have a good conversation, good comments and stuff. And, like, but also it tracks me every second of my day, my conversation, my video, my GPS, my information I type into it. I'm basically just typing into a database constantly. Yeah. And I'm a slave and I hate it. And I'm like, they hooked me. You know what I mean? Like, because it's hard to exist outside of it in the way I do in such leisure. Is the problem, because I could go, yeah, buy some land and live in the woods and stuff. And I probably will eventually. I mean, even to be honest, but I'm just saying, like, it's a lot of work where I could just copy paste sentences and sell ads and get guests all day. And like, my life's easy. And like, it's got me by the leisure. Like, you just got me in chains by leisure, you know?
Yep. You got to get back out on the road. You got to see what's going on out there. We need you back out on the road.
I will soon, man. You talk about some shows too, man. I mean, you're by two markets I'm in at least, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
And you're not far from Kansas City either.
No, not at all. I love Kansas City. How often do you get to Kansas City and do shows?
I did my first show there on the way out to Nebraska. Okay. I showed the Kansas City Comedy Club, and it was really nice. And I'm trying to establish those markets and stuff, and I think the bus helped, man. It's added the hype. Like, the people, everyone that was at that comedy club, like, kind of partied on my bus afterwards in Kansas City, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's just adding to the hype, you know? Like, the bus is more successful than I am at this point.
But then, you know what? It doesn't matter how you get there. It's that you get there.
Yeah, it's weird being part of, like, several circles. Like, I have a giant beard, so I'm immediately into, like, all this, like, beard oil, beard people industry.
Yeah.
I mean, I like hot sauce and all these, like, hot sauce niche groups. I smoke and eat a lot of weed, and, like, I'm in all these, like, weed groups. And then comedy, I'm a comic, so, like, that's how we're friends, because we both have, like, the same delusional dreams.
Yep.
And, like, like, you know, and I mean, delusion is just a matter of, like, how many people participate, I guess. But, I mean, it still feels like it, no matter how cool we make ourselves seem, we're still ourselves, you know.
One other thing we have in common is our red hair.
With
the big beard, it's even more noticeable that you have red hair. I mean, growing up, what was that like for you? I'm sure it was very similar.
Yeah, so the first, like, so many years of my life, I thought my name was Faggot. Throughout all middle school, I thought my name was just Faggot. I'm like, oh, okay, that was, like, a fun nickname.
Yeah, I just thought it was an off color of my hair, but no, that's funny. That's good.
And then South Park came out, and then, like, everybody's just trying to call me names, and then I got really tall, and then nobody talked shit for a while.
Yeah, I was when I first met you, I'm like, you are much taller than I thought you were.
That's hilarious, too, because, like, dude, I remember being young, and, like, people would talk shit on the internet to me in, like, my town or something like that, and then they, like, see me at a bar, they're like, oh. Because, like, I was a little fat kid, a bowl cut, man. Like when the red hair thing, of course everybody made fun of me. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like,
yep.
If red hair, you stick out and stuff. I don't know if that happened to you, but it definitely happened to my community. And then all of a sudden, I'm 6'2". You know?
See, at least you had that. At least you grew up and got tall, and when people saw you, they're like, oh, shit. That never happened for me. And if anything, I got worse. I had to get glasses. So I am the nerdy red-haired kid that just never got big. So.
Yeah, it just depends. Yeah, it's situational, man. Like, you're not always winning, you're not always losing, man. It's always situational. And it just made, I mean, my parents were like were funnier and better at anything, making fun of people, than anybody else was. So it gave me an extreme edge. I think my mom, if she was, like, had an ego, would be a way better comedian. I just don't think I think she just wants to watch TV and enjoy her life and not care.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that either.
No, not at all. Not at all, but I just feel like she'd be a way better comedian. Like, she's, like, way funnier when she's on point.
Oh, that's awesome. My dad is a Marine, so whenever he's used to taking shit, but he can give it back too. So he's definitely a much better roaster than myself as well.
I actually met your family. Your family's cool, man. I met your mom and your dad. Like, they were cool, man. I remember that.
They thought you were fantastic. Everybody had positive notes from the show, and they were like, oh, man, we should have stayed for the second. And I'm like, you would not have been, you would have left once I got up, that's for sure. I mean, it was that bad, but...
I think they messed up by booking it on a Thursday, also splitting the show, and then also just, like, it was, like, I need to get more established in that market and buy more ads. Like, I usually when I buy ads, I do better. I thought it was already covered. I thought it was, like, a bar that set people at it, and we'd come there and, like, bring, like, 50, 20 people on top. Yeah. You know, that's what I was viewing, and I was just, like, was like, that didn't happen.
Live and learn. And next time it'll be much better. That's for sure. Lincoln is a good market.
You guys in Seattle were my hardest. Seattle's hard because everybody thinks I'm homeless when I try to pass out flyers. And then, like, there's just so many homeless people. Like, I know it's hilarious, but it's true. It's like, I was walking around with, like, a drink, like, some, like, Asian, like liquor or something I found at this store out there. And I'm just walking around trying to pass down. I have, like, a foot-long beard. This isn't video. But so everyone's just, like, thinks I'm homeless and just ignores me. Just, like, straight looks and just all these tech dorks just ignore me.
You just need a sign that's right next to you in big, bold letters that says, I'm not homeless, see my show, and hand out flyers.
Trust me, I'm not homeless.
Trust me. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
I didn't know what I was up against. And we had a good show there. The comedians there were awesome. It was also a venue that, like, Pearl Jam played their first, like, five shows. So that was pretty cool. And it was, like, big, like, Seattle kind of thing. Everyone in Seattle's probably been to that venue. And anyone around there in Tacoma, you know, it was their city, been there. Washington was cool. I think they're not used to my vibe, which, I mean, a lot of my friends that are, like, is, like, libertarian more, Republican more, whatever classic, whatever genre I put myself into, whatever glass bottle I can put my beliefs into, you know. But I think, like, they're afraid to go to the Western markets. And I think that's what we need more than anything is, like, people getting along. Because I think, like, other comics are very just anti, like, Republican, anti, like, a bunch of my friends' associations and stuff. And, like, and I think when they met me, they're just like, oh, this is, like, another dude. Like, I think that's very important right now.
You know, the Seattle market definitely leans that left side. And it is actually, I think, a better audience to perform in front of because then the jokes hit a little harder. I mean, I don't know if they're necessarily going to laugh, but I think the jokes will hit harder and you'll be more memorable to build, you know, on in the future. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it seems like it's smart building. And I think, like, just the conversation and getting along. It's like, you have a bunch of people in Missouri being like, I hate Democrats. And you have a bunch of people in Seattle being like, I hate Republicans. And I'm like, man, just fucking eat, break bread, man. Shut up. Like, we're going to be extinguished in this thought process.
This episode of Laugh With Me, a podcast with Jeremy Odom, is brought to you by the Vaccine for Intellectual Trauma. From the makers of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine is the latest and greatest needle stick you need. Have you ever been in a weird conversation with somebody, whether it was random small talk or maybe, just maybe, you're just two people that should be having a face-to-face conversation? Well, right now, head to your nearest nurse and get the Vaccine for Intellectual Trauma. It will give you a scent that expresses through your shoulder that will be able to deter any of those random conversations that just aren't necessary. If you are someone that goes out in the public, or maybe, you go to the grocery store to buy groceries to feed your family and don't want to clog up the aisle standing in the way of the workers who are trying to do their job and fill the shelves for you, this will help. Get the Vaccine for Intellectual Trauma. It will send off a scent to everyone around you that says, I don't want to talk to you. This isn't worth my time. It's from the makers of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine, and we know that worked. Make sure to get today the Vaccine for Intellectual Trauma, a proud sponsor of Laugh With Me, a podcast with Jeremy Odom. Now back to the show.
Well, this is the part of the show. I've got a few jokes, new jokes that I'm working on, and then I have a conspiracy idea I want to run by you because I know you were asking for conspiracy theory ideas the other day. But first, I want to run a couple jokes by you. Is that all right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. The first one, and these are just ideas that I'm trying to develop in a joke, so you just tell me if it's funny, if it has anything to it. But you know how kids with Down syndrome have, like, a certain look?
Yeah.
Okay. I think kids that grow up drinking a whole lot of Mountain Dew are on that same level. Like, you can pick them out of a crowd. And you being in Missouri, I'm sure you see that often.
Dude, that's a good premise, man. I like that. That's good. That's a good comparison and funny. Yeah, no. Because you'll get the Mountain Dew drinkers pissed off of that. I like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Okay, second one. You're driving up and down the interstate or the highways and you see, like, couches and chairs, like, on the side of the road. I don't know if you see that in Missouri. We see that a little bit here in Nebraska. But now I get why NASCAR is so popular, because people just love sitting on the side of the road breathing in fumes.
So
they're just setting up their chairs and having a poor man's NASCAR race sitting on the interstate.
That's hilarious.
People, all right, do I have anything with that?
Hey, wait, one sec. People sit on the interstate there?
Oh, I've never seen anybody sitting on it, but I've seen a lot of chairs. So I'm just assuming potentially somebody could sit there. I mean, there's a chair.
That's funny. Okay, no. I was just trying to context. I was like,
no, it would be even funnier, I guess, if we actually had people sitting on the side of the
internet. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Awesome. Okay, so here's my conspiracy idea, and you tell me if there's potential to this. You know how when you go to a grocery store or really anywhere that sells balloons filled with helium, you get the balloons that just like randomly somebody loses them and they float up to the ceiling and they're up there until they lose helium? I think they're actually spy balloons gathering all of our data.
That's probably true.
I think it could be. I wouldn't put it past it. Big corporations, it wouldn't take much to float up some balloons and have some cameras in them.
I believe it personally.
I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like you were just saying with the cell phone, you are literally tracked on every move you make. Like all I do is have my phone in my pocket and it knows my heartbeat. It knows how many steps I take. It knows where I'm going. Like it knows what I'm saying. I question if it knows what I'm thinking, just because sometimes you're scrolling and like something you were thinking about that you didn't say like pops up as an ad. Like there's got to be some crazy shit with balloons in the stores because they're everywhere.
It sounds like your phone just collects all the data.
That could be too. Fuck the balloons. It's just balloons. I was just causing a stir.
I was agreeing with it just to be funny. I think that's fake.
Awesome. All right. Well, what else do you have to plug? Like, what else you got going on?
I don't know. That's a good question. I got a TV show called That Strip Club Show. And like, I think we're casting. So if like people are listening and they want to be on a TV show, thatstripclubshow.com. That's my buddy Sherry Road. I'm playing a character like myself, except for gay and richer. Playing a gay Dogecoin millionaire. So,
and where will it be filming?
St. Louis area.
St. Louis. Okay.
And then what else, man? My podcast, I mean, this is Wednesday, just released. So yesterday I went live. These rock stars tell Joe stories. Hopefully that's in the title at least. And by Thursday it'll be on YouTube back. I mean, I'll have it like YouTube. I still have like, it's a decent platform. I just can't go live on this week because the people that try to murder people with vaccines and sued for billions of dollars for lying about it. A bunch of the products said I did medical misinformation. So that's interesting. Interesting projection, you know?
Awesome. AnthonyRogers.us is the website. All your tour dates are on there. All the updates on the Anthony Rogers show is on there. You can also see his film credits and seeing what, where you can see him in film. Dang, you are a busy, busy guy. I know you've said you're not and you're just living life in Missouri, but you're a busy guy, dude.
Trying to be, man. Trying to be an adult. Yeah.
No, when you're a kid, all you want to do is grow up and have dreams and have, you know, the job of your career. And then when you're an adult, all you want to do is be a kid and wish you had that freedom again without having to pay the bills, of course.
It's very true, and I think I kept myself out of a lot of debt. I didn't have kids young. I didn't go to college. Even when I did, it was paid for. I made a lot of, like, hard decisions that, I mean, really sucked the time. I think, like, being broke through your 20s really sucked. Like, all my friends were getting, like, places and cars and spending like $200 on a bar tab, just being wild and stuff. And I'm like, broke it, you know? And like, and then like now it paid off now. It's just bling. I feel like I've laid my gratification, right? I don't have any bills still. I feel like I still am like a Peter. I feel like I'm like the last Peter Pan. I feel like I'm able to just do whatever I want all the time. I mean, I'm helping my mom right now, like, healing stuff. And then I'm still allowed time to do whatever I want. Like, I feel like, I pretty much, like, without the situation, I'd just be, like, somewhere random with my bus in the woods or wherever I want to be. Just, like, eating really good food and, like, riding or doing whatever I want to do, you know?
Yep.
Working out, and I like trails and stuff. I don't know, man. I'm having a good time, man. Like, I appreciate you having me on your show. Like, it's a cool concept. I hope this, like, blows up and you get bigger than Joe Rogan, dude. Like, honestly.
That would be awesome. And if that was to happen, I will certainly have you back and give you all the credit because it hasn't happened yet. So
you don't have to give me the credit, but I will be a guest on you. And is this your second show then?
This is episode 6.
Oh wow, okay. I must have zoned out for a second. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. So wow, okay. Well, it's cool being on the first like couple episodes, man. And like I hope it just keeps going, man. I hope you keep going, dude.
Yeah, thanks, man. And thank you again for taking the time, and I hope to see you soon and we can be on a show together next year.
Sure, yeah, let's get some Nebraska shows on.
Thank you again to the very funny Anthony Rogers for joining Laugh With Me. What a great episode. Thank you again for listening, subscribing, sharing any of the content from the show. I appreciate it so, so, so much. We've got a bunch of great episodes lined up for you coming up here in the next few weeks. And we're just going to keep it rolling. If you've got any ideas, suggestions, or you just want to be a guest on Laugh With Me, you can hit me up on any of my socials, or you can email me at laughwithmepod@gmail.com. Also, don't forget, live stand-up comedy, November 30th, Omaha Funny Bone. I'll be there. I'll give you the best 5 minutes that I've got. And there is all kinds of fantastic live comedy in Omaha, Lincoln, Council Bluffs, all in the area. If you're listening from the local area where I'm at, go out and see a show. There's one just about every single night. That about wraps it up. It's Laugh With Me.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.